date today? It's the
February the 16th, 2010.
My name's Ian Cath. I'm the son of Noel Cath, the youngest of the brothers, sons of Fred and Helen. Bill is the second oldest of the family.
That's right.
The only oldest was Doug. And you're currently, we're sitting in 2010, and you're currently how old?
88.
Turn 89 later this year.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and we're sitting in Billawheeler. We're sitting out in the backyard and on this warm February day, and we're going to, over the next couple of days, go about recording what we can get from Bill about his life and the family and the big picture of all sorts of stuff. Where should we start? What was your birthday?
20th of July.
1921?
Yes.
Okay. 3 years after the Great War ended, and your father at the time was 22 years old. He was born in 1899.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, yes. So he was 22 years old. Do you remember what year your mother was born?
No, I was a bit young for that. I just don't, never ever got any recollection.
You don't? Okay. Okay, so...
I think your mum got married about the age of 17 or something.
Oh, really?
Like that.
Yes. Okay. Was your mum younger than your dad?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's your first memory, Bill? Your very first memory?
Well, now that's hard to remember. Had you asked me probably when I was about 1 year old, I might have been able to tell you, but just now I couldn't tell you what my first memories would be.
What is the first memory that you remember?
I remember, I just don't know how old Lloyd was. Lloyd was a little fella, and he was crying one day out the back of the house, and Mum was saying, "Don't cry, love, don't cry. Here, look." She had made a little horse with four boot polish wheels on it. Lloyd was crying. She got the cat. She put a rope around the cat's neck, around his little horse. Said, "You watch the cat run." And the cat took off with his horse behind it. Down the yard, and Lloyd stopped crying. And this cat, I can still see it going under the rails at the cow yards. And the wooden horse popped up, his head fell off. And that was the end of that story.
So the horse was chasing this cat.
Yeah, the horse chasing the cat. And Lloyd, I don't know whether Lloyd ever remembered it, but I always remembered that.
So he was a baby, was he? Or a toddler?
He probably was then.
And what's the age difference between Lloyd and you?
No, it's not in his.
No, it's not in today's paper.
No. They do catch up. You don't know it. Because when I was six or so, Lloyd, I think, might have been 3 or 4. Well, now, when I'm 100, Lloyd will be 96 or 97. Catching up slowly.
He is catching up.
Percentage.
If you all lived to be 1,000, he'd even be closer to your age.
He'd be closer still. Yeah. Yes, it's strange that.
So that was your first memory on the farm. Which farm was that?
The farm at Ellesmere.
Kingaroy.
In South Burnett district.
Yeah.
2 miles from the school. That's the school we used to go to. We used to walk a lot of times to school, and we'd ride the horses, but we'd walk because we liked paddling in the water, where the water came across the road. And you'd go home of an afternoon, your feet would get dry and cracked and bleed, and Mum would go crook. Roly used to get wild, and Mum got roused out of me, he'd crawl under the house. And he'd sit under there till midnight. Then he'd come out to go to bed.
Roly?
Roly, yes. Wouldn't worry about having dinner, having tea. We were a wild bunch, I think. That was good.
What are your memories of your big brother, Doug, when you were a young fella?
Doug was more or less Dad's pet, I suppose, because he was the oldest boy. And Dad used to keep him home from school periodically to help on the farm. And Dad taught him how to drive 2 horses pulling a little plough, and then Doug would stop home and do that. And then when they'd harrowing, he'd have 7 horses behind a set of harrows, about 8 leaves of harrows. and Daggett drive these horses around and around all day. And one day I took dinner down, lunch down for Doug. Doug must have been having a rest or something, because I had walked around the front of the horse and I had a look. One horse had no bit in its mouth. I thought, that's funny. All the other horses have got winkers on with bits in their mouth. Now, Dad wouldn't have left them like that. He would have done it properly. And I'm trying to get this bit in the horse's mouth. And I didn't spend long there, I suppose about an hour, trying to get this bit in the horse's mouth. And Dad saw me having trouble with the horse, and he came over and said, "What's wrong, Bill?" I said, "This horse hasn't got the bit in its mouth." Well, he said, "It was working all right the way it was. Why worry about it?" Well, I said, "Was Doug supposed to work it like it?" He said, "Yeah, because that horse has got a sore mouth." Well, I said, "Why wasn't I told that?" Because I didn't know.
Yeah.
So I worked the horses then that day, and I think Doug was just laying down having a sleep under a tree.
How old were you then? That story.
I would have been, I suppose, 8.
Okay, so Doug would have been, say, 10.
Yeah, that's true.
Doing this.
Yeah. And we'd go to school, and then a lot of times we'd be late for school. And you always had to have an excuse for being late. And I didn't use the green bottle excuse. I put a new pair of shoes and I forgot to undo the laces. And they were tied together and I didn't know. I didn't use that excuse, though.
This is green bottle from...
I don't know what.
Yes What? The
show was,
yes What?
Something like that.
Yes, yes, the old Yes What radio show.
Yes.
What's your first memories of your mum? That same story with the cat and the horse?
Yeah, I'll never forget that. Cat taken off and the cat's tearing down the paddock, mum's laughing, and Lloyd stopped crying and he started to laugh then.
Tell me about your mum. I never knew her, of course.
Well, one thing I remember about mum a lot was one night we were sitting down to dinner. She sat down at the table, started eating, she grabbed her chest, she hopped up off the chair and she lay down on the blanket on the floor and she was gasping and, then she came good. I don't know whether it was part of heart seizure or what. She would have had 4 of us, I suppose, by then. She was a good mother. She had a lovely brooch Dad gave her, a gold brooch, and she's crawling under the fence to go down to the road to meet a car, get a lift to town or something, and she lost her brooch under the fence. We looked for it days and days, never ever found it. That's where she thought she'd lost it anyway, this gold brooch. And then we decided we'd build a tennis court. So she got us all a hoe each. We started chipping the grass out to make a tennis court. Never got finished. And then when we got the car, first car, it was a DeSoto. She told us to wash the car, so she couldn't drive, I couldn't drive, none of us could drive. Anyway, Dad had parked the car on the grass. So we got water and we washed the car, and Doug was with us, I think. I said, "I'm going to start this car and drive it up to the house." So I hopped in and started the car and I'm driving it up to the house and Mum came out. Oh, did she go crook? Me driving the car.
So when was that? How old do you think you were then?
I wasn't old enough to have a licence.
Oh, no, but were you 10 or 6 or...?
No, I was about 7.
Okay.
Anyway, Dad said to Mum one day, "I'll teach her to drive the car." So we went up to Burgess, or school picnic, I think, for the day. And we're coming home and Dad said, hopped out and opened the gate and said to Mum, "Now, when I tell you, you just put it in the gear and come slowly through the gate." The Dad opened the gate and said, "Righto, Ailey, bring it through slowly." Bang, straight into the post. Dead into the mum yard.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Dad went to his crook and he drove the car up to the house and it went about that big in the mud yard.
Yeah, the size of your
and
fist.
And fairly heavy material too. Anyway, Dad got a rolled out bag and put sand in it and got it, held it under the mud yard, got a hammer and patted it round and round, and then he started papering it. And yeah, that night we were going to a dance up at Burgess' place. in their barn. Dad said, "Now don't you kids tell any of the kids what happened here. We're not supposed to tell them Mum was driving because she hasn't got a licence." So we get up there to the dance. Doug and myself are out, you know, in the car. Some of the other kids came along and, "What are you doing?" "Oh, we're just looking for this. What happened there?" "Well, Mum was driving the car around to the post. And Dad came out and told us to get away from there." So we had to get away from the car. We weren't supposed to tell anybody about that. And then we went home from the dance. And Dad used to do possum shooting now and then. And he had a motorbike light. Carbide. Mm-hmm. Worked off carbide. Good lights, good spotlights. And they had their possum skins in the veranda room, up on top of a cupboard in there, in a box. And Dad had about 15 or 20 possum skins there. And we went home from the dance. As soon as we got home, Dad went into the... And then had a look, and the possum skins were gone. Dad remembers Kelly Walters going to the dance. He said, "That's who would have done that." So anyway, he reported it, and it was Kelly Walters that pinched his possum skins.
Oh, so he came to the dance, saw that the family were at the dance, then went back to the farm and...
Yeah, went back to the farm.
And stole the possum skins. Why steal the possum skins? They were valuable, were they?
Valuable, yeah. They still went possum hunting. Anyhow, one morning night I woke up and I hear, "Rawr, rawr, rawr." And it was a koala bear.
Oh, yeah.
Out in a mulberry tree. Dad, when they were possum hunting, they got this koala bear and they brought it home. And they put it in the mulberry tree. And we left it there for a few days and then Dad took it back out to the scrub and left it going at night. Robbing bees one night. Dad and a few other fellows, Herbie Birds, as I think, and some others.
Native bees?
No, the honeybees. And they came home and brought the honey home and everything. And I got up early next morning to go and get the cows for milking. I got a piece of this honeycomb and I took it and I'm chewing it. And there's a little bee in there and he stung me on the tongue.
Oh, no.
Oh, my tongue swelled up. I went home. I said, yeah. Mum said, "What's wrong with you?" No. I stuck my tongue out. She said, "Were you eating some of that honey?" And I said, "Yes." And the bee had stung me. My tongue swelled right up. I thought I was going to choke.
Yeah, it's dangerous. You could have choked.
Right. Yeah. We put the honey in a mosquito net and let it drip from there into the bucket for a couple of days and got all the honey out of it. But that was, they were good times.
And this is all that...
Yeah, it helps me. Yeah. Used to go down the paddock to get the cows, walk or ride the horse down. And anyway, Dad took cows to the show, Kingaroy Show and the Nango Show, and he wanted more chaff. He's in there with them. And Ernie's there with us, Uncle Ernie, Dad's brother, and Granddad's there, Herman, making hay, putting it through the chaff cutter. And I was going down, walking down to get the cows. And I heard the chaff cutter stop. And I looked around and I saw Uncle Ernie running up towards the house. And I saw Granddad following close behind. And I thought, oh, something's happened. So I went back and Ernie had got his fingers in the chaff cutter.
Uh-huh.
He's pushing the last bit of hay in, see? Took his hand out too late, minus to there.
First joint of three fingers.
Mm.
Right. So it actually went through the mangle.
There's jaws on these rollers.
That's right.
And that pulls the hay in.
Yeah. And so, and he went through the jaws onto the blade.
Yeah, it's pulling his hand there.
So it would have torn the back of his hand up a lot too.
A bit, yeah. I unyoked the horses there and let them go and went up to the house and we got on to Henry Dale, Uncle Henry. And he came and took Ernie into the doctor, into Kingaroy, got the fingers done up and that. And Granddad went down and he scratched through the hay and he found the fingertips. And you put them in a little plastic bag. No, plastic wasn't invented.
That's right.
A handkerchief, wrapped them up and buried them in the garden.
Okay.
And so that's where the fingers went.
Long before the days when they could sew them back on.
This is true, yes. Went into Ernie and saw him in hospital. And he came home in a couple of days' time. He had a Chev 4, four-cylinder Chev 4 utility. And I was sitting in with him one day and I said, I'll change the gears for you. Because the left hand, that's the one he changes the gears with. And I've got the gear lever. I've got it in the reverse. He said, no, bring it over this way, Bill. And the second gear and then top gear. And because he still had his hand bandaged.
Right.
He used to work at our place a lot. And that same chaff cutter, I was told, had cut Uncle Charlie's fingers off. Dad's brother.
Yeah.
Other brother. Early in years, a couple of years before. And then Dad and I were doing chaff one day, and he said, be careful there, Bill, where you're standing. It's a universal joint on that shaft behind your legs. He said, I'm right, Dad, I'll rake the hay out, I'm right. Next minute, bang, the universal joint caught the back of my shorts. And Dad's laughing. I said, what are you laughing at? He said, if you see what I can see, you'd laugh too. I'd no pants on. All I had was the keepers in the belt and my pants were down around my ankles.
It dacked you? It
ripped the whole pants clean off me. And I had to play tennis that day at school. And the backs of my legs were a bit raw, so Mum put some... No, I didn't have band-aids then. Put a bit of bandage on to go to school to play tennis.
Tell me about your grandfather, Herman.
Herman? Well, he used to come and stay with us periodically. Never got to know him much. Grandma used to come there too. Helen, Minnie, Annie, Dorothy.
So where were they living? Were they living nearby?
Or I was trying to think of where they were living.
Or were they living down Glencoe Way?
No, they were living down Glencoe Way, I think, something.
So they would have come up for a visit from time to time?
Come up for a visit, yeah. And Granddad would go down to the yard and help milk the cows, bale the cows up. Anyway, one day he's washing up the dishes in the kitchen. And who, I don't know, Rowley and Lloyd, I think, were wiping the dishes. And Granddad's washing the dishes and he goes, cracks up a couple of beauties. And they drop the things and laugh and like anything. Granddad says, you'll do that one day. Yeah, I never forget that. I was putting my sand shoes on to go to the yard one day. Put my sand shoes on and got the lace on. Pulled the lace real tight. And I went... and I had a little laugh. Said, well, that was a good one. Bill, do another one. I said, no, I can't. She'd come up home. Dale's lived down across the road. Uncle Henry and Auntie Lil. And Les and Dudley and Kenny and all the boys lived down there. And Auntie Lil would come up to our place about once a month and bring her clippers and scissors up. And she'd, all the kids would turn up for haircuts.
Okay.
She'd come up, come and cut their hair. And that was it. That's why she'd go again. And then Doug and Lyle were climbing up a tree down near the pigsty. It had blown over, a pepperina tree. And they were climbing along the branches. Lyle slipped and he's hanging by the hands, hanging onto this bench. Doug says, hang on, Lyle, I'll get you in a minute, I'll be there. So Doug climbs up along to get him. But before he could get there, Lyle's fingers slipped and he fell to the ground. He's crying there. I picked him up and I carried him up to the house. Got a bath ready for him. And the bath was a wooden tub, half a wooden tub. And sat him in that and got water for him. And he's in there and Mum comes back to the yard and says, what happened? And I said, oh, Lyle fell out of the tree. And anyway, he'd broken his thigh.
Wow.
And I had him sitting in the tub. Anyway, they got him out of the tub, got Uncle Henry's Dodge to come up again and take him into town to, didn't get the ambulance, take him into the hospital and they put him into traction over the end of the pull bed, the pulleys, and onto his foot. And they had him in plaster round here,
round,
right down to the foot.
Right round his hip, all the way down
right
his foot.
Yeah. He started going back to school like that, to school like that.
In full plaster.
And he had to have that on for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And then they took the plaster off. And was
he
right?
Was he, so what, he was 7 or 8 years old or something?
Probably would have been, yeah, about then, yes. And then when Lloyd and I were mucking around one afternoon, we were playing out in the grass, and Lloyd runs past me and I put my leg out and it trips. Falls over and he's crying, lad, picked him up. He had a broken leg down below the knee.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there.
Yeah, right.
broke a leg. And Mum goes crook at me for it. I said, I didn't do it. He fell over. I tripped him, though. So he had to go and get plaster then on his leg. And then the next one to have a broken, was me with a broken collarbone when the horse tossed us off coming along from school. Yeah, Uncle Henry had to, he came into town, picked me up, brought me back to our place. They had me with tape around here, right across the shoulders, holding the shoulders back.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, one day I took some cows through and put in another paddock, and I'm pulling the gate up, one of those gates, one of those you hook around and pull it round. I broke it. It broke me. Broke.
Again?
The tape.
Oh, the tape broke.
So I went on Dad, said, I'll fix it. Then never mind. So I sat there and he got the drill, drilled through each piece and put ordinary tape through it, tied it. So that's how I stayed for till the period of time was up. Now, whenever I get a suit, I've always got to have that sleeve made an inch longer.
Seriously? Your left arm's an inch longer?
Yes, it's an inch longer.
Okay.
I guess that because it didn't pull the shoulder up far enough when they put it back together. See, now, my arm will only reach to there, my left arm. See that? My left, right arm reaches to there. See, my left arm's shorter.
He just reached up in the air and he was scratching his wrist with the other arm. Yeah, so the one that he had straight up in the air was longer than the other one. Okay. When did Fred get the jerseys and the cattle?
When we were at Kingaroy.
Do you remember the start of the dairy herd?
Yeah, he went down to Lismore and bought a couple.
Right. What was he doing before that?
He had pigs.
Oh.
Purebred pigs for a while. He'd been breeding pigs and that, and he used to take them down to Brooklands, to the pig yards periodically. And he had a German wagon.
What's a German wagon?
Well, it was a brand of wagon. The sides were like that.
Tapered.
Four wheels.
Tapered sides, yeah.
And four wheels and shafts out the front.
And what, horse-drawn, of course?
Yes, yeah. Horse-drawn.
What, pair of horses or four horses?
No, two horses.
Yeah, one pair. Okay, two. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, Dad sets off, and he had borrowed a kangaroo dog from Ernie Greenslade.
What's a kangaroo dog?
A dog for chasing kangaroos.
When you go,
it's a big dog about this big.
Right.
And they have races too with them.
Oh, okay.
And Dad wasn't racing this dog though, so he tied it on the back of the wagon too, underneath. Let it trot along behind us, and he's taken these pigs down to the market also. He got near the gully near Burgess Place. And he thought he'd better have a look, see how the dog is. He had a look and the dog was dead. It was dragging along behind.
Oh, poof.
And he choked down. So he untied the dog from there and put it over against a tree. And I can still remember the tree. I don't know why he put it there, because it wouldn't run away. Anyway, that was the end of the dog. Kangaroo dog.
So he was breeding pigs?
Yes.
For market?
Yep.
And is that what he first did in farming, when he went out on his own?
Yes, he started with the Jersey cows following. He still had the pigs also. And then when we went to Dalby, yes, he had quite a few Jerseys then. We drove them all across by road. There were no trucks carting cattle in those days. We camped every night. We milked the cows every night. Milked them for morning. And the people came along wanting milk, we gave them milk. Or as we went past houses, we gave them milk.
How many cows did you drove from Kingaroy?
I'd say we were driven about 30, between 30 and 40.
Okay. How long did it take to travel?
And a billy goat led the way, all the way.
Oh, right.
A big old billy goat.
Big horns.
Yeah, big horns. And I think we took about 3 or 4 days.
Did you have a wagon with all the family stuff?
We had the Model T Ford, which Dad bought with the farm at Dalby. Model T Ford truck, and he took it over and filled it up with stuff from Kingaroy Farm, and he set off driving to Dalby. Got to Porter's Gap, that was the, and it wouldn't go right over, it runs out of petrol, and the tank is under the floor, and you're sitting on a tank, and the petrol couldn't get through, so he turns the truck around, he backs it up the hills, or he got shrewd, he siphoned it out in a bucket and hung it on the windscreen. Put a hose down to the carburetor.
This is going over the Bunya Mountains,
yep.
Is it? Okay.
Then next night we stayed at Square Top Mountain, that's not far from Cape Killimbun. Then the next day we arrive home.
At Dalby?
At Dalby, yeah.
So you had all of the family possessions in the Model T Ford truck?
Yeah, there's no other vehicles, I don't think.
Yeah, you had...
The lantern ran out of kerosene, so we put some petrol in it. The flames started going everywhere, so we quickly put that out.
The cattle were, of course, being droved.
Yep.
So they were walking. Were all your kids walking?
No. I think Doug was on a horse with us, and I was on a horse, and we'd drive along, walk beside the cows, and Dad would be behind us in the truck, probably, in the Model T.
And your mum, in the truck?
No, well, she was at Dalby.
Oh, he'd already taken her over
previously? Yeah.
Okay.
He took her over and
with the babies?
With the DeSoto.
Okay.
29 DeSoto.
So he took mum and, what, the younger kids?
Yeah.
Which was who, Lyle and Noel?
Yeah, Lyle and Noel.
Right.
Yeah.
Where's Rolly and Lloyd?
I think they were playing the wag. I don't know where they were.
Well, they either had to be with you, coming with the cattle, or they were with your mum.
No, they were with mum.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they were with mum.
So it was only you two older boys who were with your dad?
Yeah, Rolly and Doug and me.
Well, three of you, Rolly, Doug and you. Mm. Okay.
And the first night we camped at a reserve at Boyneside School. And we camped there, and a chappie came along, and he's talking to us for a good while, and he said, just down past here, about 100 metres, 100 yards, you'll see a burnt stump. Well, that's where a fella was murdered, and he was burnt in that stump. And we're thinking, oh, this is bloody lovely. And we saw the stump too and everything, and it's where a murder had been committed. And we had our cows there and a bit of a fence around, and we lit fire here and a fire there around a bunch of the cows, see. And then we had our meals, and then we made our bunks and went to bed there.
What were the fires for?
Just keep warm and so that we could see where the cattle were. The next morning, of course, we put the fires out, and away we moved you off again. The cows were very good at marching and that.
Just walking pace?
Yep, just walking pace.
Was that like an adventure for you kids?
It was, yes. Yes, it was very good. Anyway, when we got within about 3 miles from home, that's where Lillingstone School was, and that's where Lyle was going to go to school. When we got to there, Lyle and Lloyd saw us coming with the cattle and the truck, got on the push bike and pedalled up to meet us. All went down together, down to the house and the yards.
Had you been to the house before then?
No.
What was that first day like, that first night?
Very adventurous, because there were sheep yards there and everything. Proper drafting sheep yards, you know, you've got your two gates and you're bringing the sheep through and the rams go here, the ewes go there and all that. And machinery sheds and that. Oh yes, we had the cow bars partly built. Look at cows and we had the engine. You used to start that up, drive the separator and the milk pump to pump the milk down to the pigsties. As you're separating, of course, you always want to keep some milk back for the calves here to feed them. So you pull the spouts around off the pump, off the funnel that goes to the pigsty, and you let it run into a cream can or a 4-gallon tin. And then you go down there and milk more cows, and you see the milk running down the ground. It runs run over. The milk would run down and run back and put the spouts over onto the other. So I said to Dad one day, I'm going to make something, Dad, that a bell to ring when that drum's full. He said, how are you going to do that? I said, you just wait. I said, you wait and watch. So I set to work and I made this thing, and it's a float out of 3-ply and a piece of wire through it, went up and over another thing, comes down and touches on and used to ring a bell. I put a bell and I made a shelf and put battery on for the radio, charged it up, put a Model T Ford generator under that, and that used to drive off the flywheel of the engine. And the bell was on the same board. And when the thing was full, you could adjust that to how much milk you want in the tight drum, what height you want it, see. And then Oh, it was great. The first, it rings and Dad hops up and races up and has a look. It's full, Bill, it's right. He said, that's very good.
So it was an electric bell, was it?
Yeah, electric bell.
That worked off the battery,
yeah,
the radio.
Yeah, off the battery that
gotcha.
I was charging.
Very clever. How did the new farm at Dalby compare to the old farm? Were they different? Was Dalby a grander place?
Well, Dalby was hand. Yeah, we had an engine there. No, we did it by hand, separating.
Where?
At Kingaroy.
At Kingaroy, you hand separate it?
Yeah. But when we got to Dalby, we put milking machines in, so therefore we had an engine.
Oh, you had milking machines all the way back then in Dalby?
Yeah, Dalby.
Oh, okay. I thought it was hand milking in Dalby in the early years. What was the milk used for? Like when you milk
the pigs.
When you milk the cows, what happened to all of the components of the milk?
They went into a vat and then we caught what we wanted and fed the potties and
the calves.
The rest, we separated and got the cream out of it. Then the rest went down to the pig stalls.
So the creamless milk, the light milk, went down to the pigs to feed and fatten them.
And the cream went to the butter factory in Dalby.
And how much milk was kept to drink?
Well, we take a billy full of milk down home every night.
Okay.
Every morning, probably.
So the dairy production was primarily cream?
Yeah.
That was the only thing that was sold?
That was it, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Did you send any whole milk to cheese factories?
No, there were no cheese factories then.
Okay, so it was only butter factories.
Butter factories.
So the dairy industry in those days produced cream for butter. Yeah. That was all there was.
Yeah, that was it.
And then a few other cheese factories around the place.
Yeah, well.
And milk was a tiny minor product.
Yes.
When did the cheese factories come about? Like in the 40s or something?
Oh, it probably would have been, mate.
Whereas there were butter factories right from the very beginning.
Butter factory still at Dalby. It's not a butter factory though now. It takes the milk.
Yes.
The milk goes in there to them.
You've mentioned how the dairy was, that it was hand milking at Kingaroy and machinery at Dalby. What was the actual farmhouses like? How did they compare?
What was it like?
Yeah.
At the farmhouse?
Yeah, the house, the home.
Well, the house at Ellesmere was more or less two rooms when you went in, the kitchen, pantry was there. Pantry had a big box in about that long, about that wide, about that high.
Three feet long, two feet wide, and three feet high.
In there was flour one end, sugar the other. And Rowley used to have a habit of lifting the lid up and getting in there handfuls of flour and eating it. And one day he fell in there, and he's in the flour box. And he came out white all over. Mum belted him, and there's powder flying everywhere. Then the next room, Dad cut the partition out, cut the wall out, so it made it one big room. And we used to use lanterns. And then Dad bought a wizard light. It consisted of a tank that high and that round, and you put shellite petrol in there, and you pumped it up. It had a gauge on it, and had pipes went around the wall up to the light, and you had mantles on these lights.
Okay. So these were pressure lamps?
Pressure lamps, yeah.
Okay.
And you'd turn it on, light it, and they're beautiful lights, real white light.
Shellite pressure lamps, but piped through the house.
Yeah.
So how many mantles would you have?
Well, we only had two lights, actually, off.
Okay.
Because as far as the other rooms went, we just had the hand lights.
So, and what, they were kerosene lights, were they?
Yeah.
Okay, so you had kerosene lamps up until you got those mantle pressure lamps.
Yeah.
Okay. That would have been a huge advance.
It was.
Yeah. That's how the house at Kingaroy was. How was the house at Dalby? What was that like? Was that a bigger...
Well, when we got the machines in, we put a 32-volt generator in there, and that was being driven by the engine.
Did you have that from the very beginning? Or close to the beginning?
Well, as soon as we put the machines in.
When did you put the machines in? Shortly after you got there?
Yeah, shortly. Yeah, about 12 months after we got there.
Okay.
We used to drive the generator, and the batteries were down in the laundry at the house. Filled it up to this 32 volts. Yeah, and Mum used to iron while the engine was going.
Electric iron?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you would have used an iron off the stove.
No.
Electric iron. That would have been pretty flash in those days, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it was. In the house we had about seven lights, I think, in the house. And if it was a bit hectic, you'd see, I'm reading, and the light went dull. Somebody switched the light on. Fritz the lights on.
I'm reading. I'm doing my homework.
And ran the wires down from the cow wires down to the house, down to the batteries. Yeah, that was 32 volt made up to 6.6s.
Big old lead acid batteries?
Yeah, lead acid batteries. Yeah. Lead acid. Shower room. Next one was the laundry. Next one was the toilet. The batteries are there. And then the power went into the house.
What sort of toilet did you have? Thunderbox?
Flush.
Flush toilet?
Yeah.
What, you had a septic?
Yeah, we had a septic.
That would have been impressive for the day, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we dug a trench down into the paddock. Had a big pit in there that used to soak away.
There wouldn't have been too many farms that had septics then, would there?
No.
Most of them would have had night soil and then they would have got buried, wouldn't they? Because I remember Lyle had that at his farm at Gary Junction.
Oh, I bloody remember it too. It choked up and filled up and I had to help unsuck it. It's the ordinary one. When that choke up, you got the mop and you got into the cistern with that. Push, 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 push.
This is septic?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
That'll clear it.
You wouldn't want to use the mop for the floors after that, would you?
Oh, yes, you use the next mop. Lyle's and doors, it choked up. I said, we'll get the mop and try. We tried the mop and it was really packed up. And anyway, we end up undoing the pipe outside to the pit, to the tank in the ground. They're using wrong paper or something. And I said, look at the shit on the wall everywhere. Well, I said, you wanted it released, didn't you?
And what happened? Did it explode out or something?
No. When we undid the pipes into the tank and started to put water through again in the mop,
oh, okay.
She's going cook. I said, do you want it cleaned or don't you? Yeah.
What happened to the old house at Kingaroy? Was sold?
No, somebody else is living in it now, and they've got a beautiful house built there, I reckon, now. The old house we had, it had a little veranda, steps, veranda room there where the possum skins were.
And Fred sold that place to buy the place at Kingaroy? At Dalby?
He bought the one at Dalby first.
Okay.
He went to Mr. Catto, the bank manager. He said, could you lend me some money? I want to buy a farm. And I think it cost him $1,000 or something, $10,000.
Pound?
Pounds.
£10,000?
And the bank manager said, Fred, I'll lend you another $10,000 to buy the one across the road too. Dad said, oh, gee, I can't afford that. He said, well, I was just offering it. So Dad just bought the one, and later on he wished he had bought the one across the road. Bank manager said, you should have bought it, friend. He sold the one at Dalby later on.
Okay.
And we all moved over. He went over, he used to go over, and he had a little case tractor. And he went over and he was ploughing, breaking up land. 130 acres, one block of land. He was ploughing that. It's his new land. And so had a motherboard plough. He ploughed that and used to camp there every night. He made a trap to trap top-knot pigeons. He lived on them.
He lived on what?
Top-knot pigeons.
Oh, really?
You know, he got a push-bike wheel, put netting over it, prop it up with grain under it and a string, and he'd have a look. Yeah, there's three or four there, right up, pull the string. He'd get them, he'd tuck their heads off, pluck them, clean them, cook them, have them for night time, next day. So that's how he lived. He'd camp in the house, and the next morning he'd be up ploughing again. And he ploughed all that land before we moved over there, 130 acres. When we moved over there, Doug was driving tractor then. He broke up the other block of land with 60 acres. And then there was about 5 or 6 30-acre blocks we did. When we were all there together, it wasn't too bad. It had the light on the front of the tractor. What he had for the light was kerosene pump-up lamp with a mantle, and he had it on a cushion on the front of the tractor. It never broke the mantle.
Because it was on the cushion?
It was on a cushion. He used to drive around and around there in his paddock.
Did he have a reflector?
Huh?
Did he have a reflector?
No, it didn't have a reflector because it didn't really need it because I showed a good light, really good light. It wasn't shining back on him because the radiator was right there.
Ah, okay, so he had it down in front of the radiator. Okay. Yeah.
And when he'd get tired during the night, he'd just pull up, lay down beside the tractor, And soon as the tractor stalled, that'd wake him, and he'd hop up and start again the way he'd go again. As soon as the sound had stopped, that used to wake him.
So he'd sleep while the tractor's running?
Yeah. And you'd get to the corner, and there was a water course across that 130-acre paddock, and you'd get to the corner, and you'd pull the steering wheel down, and the front wheels wouldn't come around straight away.
Oh, that skid.
Unless you hit the throttle back, and then it'd come around all right.
This is a wheeled tractor, or a track?
No, the steel rims on the front wheels.
Yep.
And spikes on the back.
And steel spikes on the back wheels. Yeah, right.
And bigger grips. Yeah, they were a strong little tractor too, those cases. And pulling a mowboard plough too is a fairly heavy load. 5 shears. And they turned the soil right over.
Okay, yes.
As years went by, got an L tractor. And then we bought an LA, and that was on rubbers. Oh, that was comfort. Because on the wheels with the steel wheels, the spikes on the back wheels, if you were driving along and one of those got on a stone, like you should dink your back. You should stand up there driving and you'd still, you'd cough a caning. And then with rubber-tired tractors, I always said to Dad, what's the good of rubber tires on a tractor? You get punches. And I said, you won't get the traction. But he said, you fill your back tires with water. So we did. We filled the back tires with water up to that level. And that weight is on the rubber. And they won't spin. They won't skid in the ground. But if you haven't got water...
And if they're below the axle, if the water's below the axle, it keeps the centre of gravity lower
too. Yeah, it presses the tires into the dirt. It's amazing how much traction you get.
Yeah, well, the water's heavy, isn't it?
Yeah. Then when Doug bought the farm off Dad, Doug sold the cases and he got a Fiat, I think. Fiat tractor, I think.
How important were the was the herd, the Jersey herd, to Fred?
It was very good. Very good. Dad won Queensland trophies, I think 3 or 4 years in succession. The 10 highest butterfat-producing cows in Queensland. 10 cows you have to have. And Dad won it. I think he won it 10 times.
Right.
I remember one of the cows had a calf at the Mango show, and a little bull calf, it was a day old, and he sold it for £100.
Wow.
Yeah,
that would have been a lot of money in the day.
A lot of money, yeah.
Easy £100, isn't it?
Yeah, too right.
He started off pig farming and he moved into dairy.
Yeah.
Dairy eventually took over and became the primary. Did the pigs get less and less until there were just a couple of pigs? And it was all dairy after that?
I think we took some of the pigs over to Derby and had pigs there too. But just whether he was still stuck to the purebred pigs, I don't know. I think he might have done. He was more interested in the cattle then.
What was your mum up to around all this time?
CWA.
That was a big part of her life?
Yeah, big part of her life. Oh, she used to play tennis too, yeah, that's right. And Dad, we had our own tennis court. We built that at Derby.
Okay, so you didn't build the one at Kingaroy, but you did build the one at Derby.
Yeah, we built one at Derby. We got the white ant nests from up in Moolah at Derby and crushed it and then put it down and rolled it and then puddled it and made a good white ant court, white ant bed court.
How hard does that get? Is it as hard as concrete?
Yeah, it is. Takes the skin off as easy too.
Does it? Does it chalk up? Does it dust up?
No, it didn't.
Oh, really?
No. We used to paint the lines on, and because it's that hard, it painted well.
Oh, and the paint stayed on a long time?
Yeah, it stayed on.
Okay, I didn't realise it was that hard. So your mum was into CWA?
Yeah. Yeah, she was into that. She was into the Presbyterian Church, socials and everything. Matter of fact, she put flowers in the Presbyterian Church in Derby Sunday before she died.
Put flowers in?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Put flowers in the church that they used in. And she I never forget Mum's funeral. Dad was sitting with Gwyneth, and we six boys were pallbearers. And we're marching out, and Rowley's behind me, and I said, geez, I didn't know Mum was this heavy. And I looked around, Rowley's feet were off the ground.
He was hanging on to the...
He was hanging on the handles. No,
but his feet were off the ground.
He wasn't, but I was telling him.
Oh,
this.
Okay.
I told him this, he was hanging on the handles.
Yeah, he would have been a little fine.
And when we were going out, taking the coffin out, Dad said to Gwyneth, Mum thought of everything, didn't she, love? Six pallbearers. We get out of the cemetery, it rained. We had to, couldn't have a burial for a while. Had to wait till the rain went. Had the service, and Mum had always said at the funeral they should put leaves or grass in on the coffin first. You shouldn't be able to hear the soil and the stones hitting the coffin. And so we didn't do that. That happened with Mum. We put leaves and grass in first.
Right.
Then put the then fill it in. See, the undertakers fill them in now, those days, next of kin. It was an honour to fill the coffin in.
All the way to the top?
Yeah. All the way to the top. Yeah.
Mm.
Yes, I know. I remember sitting in the car there and it was raining and we were waiting for it to stop raining so we could go ahead with it.
Do you remember when Gwyneth was born?
Yes, I do, really.
What was it like for the family to have a little girl after six boys?
It was a good, very good, very good surprise. We were all pleased. And the minister said to Dad, righto, Fred, you can knock off now. He was a returned serviceman, the minister. He was a mighty fellow. He was telling us one day about one of the places out west he was minister at, and there was a funeral this day, and he said we're waiting at the church and wondering where the undertaker is. Anyway, we decided to go to the cemetery and wait out there then. So we went to the cemetery and we're waiting there for him. Here it comes down the gully, across the gully, not down the road, round, and the back of the coffin opened, the doors opened and the coffin slipped out down the gully, and they had to go back and get that. He said they used to always pull up at a pub.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He used to come around to Dad's place quite a lot, and he'd come around and he'd say, Fred, it's my shout tonight. And he'd have a bottle with him, and they'd just have a drink or two, and they'd offer me a drink, but I wouldn't have a drink. When I was down there, I just happened to be there at different times. And when Mum died, Dad rang us to say that Mum had taken a stroke, rang us at Villawheeler. And he rang in a house, and he rang in a shop, and I just don't know where I was at the time, but anyway, I eventually got the call that Mum had taken a stroke, and I said, right, Dad, I'm on my way. And I got dressed and got the car ready, and the phone call comes again to say she'd passed away. So she was only in hospital about 2 hours.
Okay, she had a cerebral hemorrhage, didn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought she died on the kitchen floor, but she had...
No, cerebral hemorrhage. And what I was told, it's just a burst blood vessel in the back of me.
Right.
I thought. But so we set off, and I got down there about dark, and I'm going in from John Dow to Dalby, and I come to the railway crossing, and here's a vehicle on its side laying there. So I pulled up and raced down to the car, and I said, got troubles, mate? And he said, no, we're right. I said, well, what's these fingers sticking out the side under the hood? I said, oh, no, that'll be right. And they were full of boots and darkies. Anyway, I said, well, you better lift it up and get his hand out from under there. And I said, have you got the ambulance coming? He said, no, we don't need an ambulance. Anyway, I took off from there, went into town, told the ambulance.
Oh.
I don't know if the ambulance got there yet.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they've dealt with it by now.
Yes, they would. This is after railway crossing, see?
So just full as boots and they'd rolled over?
Yeah, and rolled the vehicle over and he had his hand out and the car came down resting on his hand. And then next day I went to see Mum in the grave at the coffin at the undertaker's and kissed my hand, patted her on the forehead. And Dad said, how'd she look, Bill? I said, she looked good, Dad. She looked good. There's only one little thing, a little bit of cotton wool showing out of the corner of her mouth. I said, it's probably some of the packing they put in.
Yeah.
I said, there's nothing to worry about. Yeah, so after I'd seen her, they put the lid on it then and took her around the church then. You know, these things stick in your mind.
Oh, they're major events in your life, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, a bit like when Rhonda died, you know. Yeah. I remember all those elements very clearly.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you moved to Dalby, Herman and your grandmother, yeah. Did they come over at all? Because, you know, Dalby would have been closer to Glencoe than Kingaroy would have been.
Yeah, well, I don't know whether they were... No, they never came there, I don't think. Mum's father came there, stayed with us a few times. At Dalby, Andrew Fletcher. He came and stayed there a few times with us. And he had a whopping big beard. And he never, ever shaved.
Oh, really?
Never. I thought, what a saving.
Did he have a pipe?
No, he didn't smoke either.
Okay.
I think he was frightened of bushfires.
Bushfires, yeah.
And there's another fellow who used to come and stay... now and then with us for a day or so. His name was John Collins and he was the owner of some Jersey stud at Tingoora. That's near Kingaroy. And he had Jersey stud. He used to come and stay with us now and then for a while and he had a terrific hernia. And it wasn't a big hernia. And Dad often said to him, why don't you have an operation on that? He said, it's right, Fred, he said. It'll be right, he said, I'll go with it. And this fella used to walk up and down the fence talking to his cattle all the time, the bulls. And they used to know if he was sick, if he didn't come down, walk up the fence, they'd be at the fence. Because when he did go to hospital, I went down to help his daughter look after the farm and I used to milk the cows for her. Because she'd be at the hospital with him. Anyway, This bull would be wandering up and down the fence. She told me, don't go right to the fence, whatever you do, because he might charge, because he was missing his master. I said to Lyle, is she still alive? And he said, I think so. She just lived for the cattle. But in the house, they had lots of trophies and that he'd won with the cattle.
Mm.
Grandfather clocks and all that sort of stuff. I don't know if Dad bought any cattle off him. Might have bought one or two cattle from him. But he said, always said to Dad, you've got better cattle than I had, Fred, so you stick with them. He'd come over and stay with us for a while and talk to Dad about his cattle and that. They were really wrapped in them. They were the Jerseys. Well, Doug never... He didn't want to do dairying. Doug didn't worry about cattle at all. That's why Lyle... took them over. Mm.
Did Doug moved into grain and...
Yeah, just more or less grew crops.
Yeah. Did Fred grow grain as well?
Fred?
Yeah. Did your dad...
Oh, yeah. Dad grew a lot of grain, yeah. Wheat and oats and barley.
Right. For sale or just for cattle feed?
No, for sale.
Yep.
Yeah. Sorghum. I used to drive the truck from there to the dump. The wheat, loads of wheat, one morning, and it had no canopy over the top. It had the windscreen to there, and it was a Fargo truck. And anyway, one morning, I refuelled, and it took some starting, the bloody old truck. And I had it loaded up, so got it going. Anyway, away I went. I took a load up to the bun, unloaded and came back and still running sick. When I got there, one of the coppers was out there from one of Dad's mates. He was there and he said to me, "How are you going, Bill?" I said, "Oh, I'm going well, mate." He said, "Are you trying to wean it?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You got kerosene in that truck."
Really?
I said, "What?" He said, "Have a look at the top of the tank. It's not dry. It's still wet." And he rubbed his hand on it. He said, "Smell that." He said, "That's kerosene." And so we had a look on the drum. And here it was on the drum, power kerosene.
Oh, okay.
And we got it from Swikarts, and it's supposed to be super petrol. So straight to our dad rang them about it. And they brought us down another full drum of petrol. So I'm glad the copper came out today.
Explains why it was running rough.
Yeah, that's why it was running rough.
Yeah. What was farming like in those days? Like, you know, you had harvesters and probably combine harvesters and thrashers, yeah. but there was no bulk grain. It was all bagged grain and stuff like
that. A truck.
So tell it.
A lot of them had bulk.
So,
carriers.
Bill, tell me a little bit about what agriculture was like in those days, dairying and grain and what you grew up with. How was it done in those days? How was the dairy then compared to today?
Much the same. Although now, today, a lot easier because so many things have come in to make things easier.
The like bales.
Years ago, they used to use horses and that's a lot. Well, now they use tractors and now they use a lot more machinery.
When did Fred stop using horses? Before you
when
went?
When we moved to Dalby.
Okay. That was the end of the horses.
Yeah.
What did he do? Sell them all off and buy a tractor? Simple as that?
Yes, he bought a tractor straight away as soon as he went over there, actually. And he, I don't know if he sold his horse or gave them to the neighbours or what. They're good draft horses, and if they're good draft horses, there's no problem to get rid of them, people wanting them, because a lot of people could use horses and they didn't have to go with them. They could pull the plough around the paddock and the whole time, follow the furrow. Horses would.
Oh, really? You wouldn't have to walk behind them?
No.
A horse just let it off on its own and it just followed the previous furrow and it dug?
Yeah.
Wow.
And a lot of the ploughs were, Dad made one up out of a V shape, and the horse was up there, and out this, off that, were two cutters, steel, underground used to cut the peanuts, the roots on the peanuts, for when we were harvesting peanuts.
Okay. So Fred grew peanuts as well?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, we grew peanuts. After we went to Dalby, I don't think we did grow them though. But a lot of people did still use them, grow them, because they used their headers to harvest them.
Oh, okay.
Or like I said, used to run a cutter along, cut the roots, you walk along in it, pull the plant out, and then stook them.
Stook them?
Stook them.
What does that mean?
With the peanuts to the centre. You stack the vines with the peanuts to the centre, the head's out there because the peanuts are there, so you put them in the centre so that the crows can't get them or birds can't get them. And when you get to the top, you just cap them off with a lot of grass.
Okay, so you're making basically a pyramid cone of plants with all the peanuts in the middle and birds can't get into them.
That's
okay,
right.
Okay. And then you say they would come through with a header and pick them up.
Yeah, well, when you did it in this way, you went through with a wagon, put them onto a wagon and carted them and put them into a combine harvester.
A thrasher?
Yeah, thrasher.
Okay. Okay.
Crossed them into the thrasher and they came out of there bagged up. It was in the bags.
Right, okay. The dairies nowadays are all herringbone or rotary and that sort of thing. And those in the old days, were they just the original bales? You know, the four, six bales?
Yeah, we had
the cows.